A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and I have to say, it's one of those things where the more you think about it, the more you realize how many people are one wobbly step away from a very bad afternoon. He's asking about ladders. Specifically, a ladder that'll get you 2.5 to 3 meters up for things like checking HVAC ducts or swapping air conditioner batteries. Something that folds into an A-frame and maybe even telescopes down for storage. He's got a single-frame wooden ladder he doesn't trust, and he wants to know if there's an industrial-grade equivalent, the kind of thing you'd actually feel safe on by yourself. And he's got a hunch about materials. He figures a steel ladder with rubber feet is inherently more stable than wood. Which sounds right until you start poking at it.
It's the tool everyone owns and almost nobody reads the spec sheet for. And at 3 meters, you're not just reaching a high shelf, you're in the zone where a fall means broken bones, not bruised pride. The gap between one of those little IKEA folding stools and a proper extension ladder is where most home injuries happen, because people try to stretch the wrong tool past what it was designed for.
The humble stepladder is probably the most overlooked safety-critical thing in a home. You'll agonize over which drill to buy, compare torque specs, battery platforms, brushless versus brushed, and then you'll climb onto a 20-year-old wooden ladder with a cracked spreader bar, because it was already in the garage when you moved in.
The post-pandemic DIY boom made this worse. More people doing their own maintenance, higher ceilings in modern rentals and new builds. A lot of folks are finding out that their trusty little two-step stool tops out at about 1.5 meters, and suddenly they're balancing on the top rung with a screwdriver in one hand and a prayer in the other.
Which is how you end up in the, I probably shouldn't be doing this position, which is exactly where Daniel is right now with that wooden ladder. And the fact that he's asking about industrial-grade options tells me he's already figured out that household-rated gear isn't going to cut it.
And the material question is fascinating because it's one of those intuitions that feels correct. Steel is heavy, heavy things feel stable, therefore steel ladder equals stable ladder. But ladder stability is maybe 20% material and 80% geometry. A narrow-based steel ladder is going to be more tippy than a wide-based aluminum one, and we'll get into exactly why that is.
The question isn't just which ladder should I buy. It's what actually makes a ladder stable at 3 meters when you're up there by yourself. And why does the spec sheet matter more than the material it's made of?
The good news is, there are absolutely industrial-grade options that telescope and fold. The bad news is, most people don't know what they're looking at on the label. So we're going to walk through exactly what those duty ratings mean, what makes a base geometry work, and why a dual pin lock is the difference between a ladder and a lawsuit.
Daniel's basically asking us to be the ladder consultants he never knew he needed. And honestly, I'm here for it. Because if we can stop one person from standing on the top platform of a Type 3 step stool while holding a drill, we've done our job.
Let's get into the spec sheet, because that's where the actual safety lives. The first thing stamped on any ladder that's worth buying is the ANSI duty rating. And this is not marketing fluff, it's a legally meaningful classification. Type 3 is household, rated for 200 pounds. Type 2 is light commercial, 225. Type 1 is heavy commercial at 250. Type 1A is professional grade, 300 pounds. And Type 1AA is extra heavy duty at 375.
Daniel's talking about 3 meters up, single person, probably holding tools. So just from the numbers, Type 3 and Type 2 are off the table immediately. You don't want to be the person testing the safety margin on a ladder that's rated for someone 20 pounds lighter than you, plus whatever you're carrying.
For 3-meter single-person work with tools, Type 1A is really the minimum safe choice. That 300-pound rating isn't just about your body weight, it's a dynamic load rating. When you shift your weight, when you lean, when you're holding something awkward, you're putting more force through the ladder than your static weight. The rating accounts for that, but only if you stay within it.
Which brings us to the second thing on the label, material. And this is where Daniel's intuition about steel being inherently more stable gets interesting. Steel is heavier, and weight down low does help with stability, but it's not the main event. What actually keeps a ladder from tipping is base geometry, how wide the feet are spread relative to the height.
Think of it like a tripod versus a monopod. A monopod can be made of solid tungsten, and it'll still fall over if you breathe on it wrong. A tripod made of carbon fiber will stand there all day because the base is wide. Ladders work the same way. A steel A-frame with a 20-inch base spread is going to be tippier at 3 meters than an aluminum A-frame with a 32-inch base spread, regardless of what either one weighs.
The material question isn't which one is more stable. It's which one gives you the right combination of base width, weight you can actually carry, and durability for where you're using it. Steel corrodes if it's stored somewhere damp. Aluminum is lighter, but can flex more at height if the engineering isn't good. Wood is non-conductive, which matters if you're anywhere near wiring, but it warps and splits over time.
Wood ladders have their own failure mode that people forget about. A wooden ladder isn't one solid piece, it's multiple pieces joined together, and those joints are where moisture gets in and does its work. You can't see the rot inside a rung joint until it fails. That's probably part of why Daniel doesn't trust his current wooden ladder, and he might be right to distrust it even if the material itself isn't the problem.
The thesis here is, the right ladder for this use case absolutely exists. It's probably an aluminum telescoping A-frame with a Type 1, A rating, and a wide base. But you can't just grab the heaviest thing at the hardware store and assume it's the safest. The spec sheet tells the story, and material is maybe the third or fourth most important thing on it.
The third spec sheet parameter, after duty rating and material, is the stability hardware. Spreader bars that lock positively, meaning they click into place with a mechanism, not just friction. Rubber feet with large contact patches. And on a telescoping model, the locking pins. A dual pin design gives you redundancy. A single pin fails, and that section collapses.
Which is why we're going to walk through the actual mechanisms next, what those spreader bars do, why base spread matters more than anything else on the spec sheet, and which specific models actually deliver on all of this for under $300.
Let's start with the base geometry, because this is where the physics actually lives. A ladder stability against tipping is fundamentally about the ratio of base width to height. When you're 3 meters up and you lean even slightly to one side, your center of gravity shifts. If it moves outside the footprint of the base, the ladder goes over. That's the entire equation. So a 30-inch base spread versus a 20-inch base spread isn't a small difference. It's the difference between needing to lean 6 inches to tip versus leaning 4 inches.
4 inches is nothing when you're reaching for a duct with a screwdriver. You'll shift that far without even noticing.
The research on this is pretty clear. Stability is roughly 80% base geometry and 20% material. The Little Giant Select Step, for example, has a 30-inch base spread at the bottom when fully extended to 3 meters. That gives you a much wider stability envelope than a typical wooden A-frame, which might only have a 24 or 26-inch spread. Those extra 4 to 6 inches at the base translate to a meaningfully larger safe zone for your center of gravity.
When Daniel looks at a spec sheet, the base spread number is probably the single most important thing he's never thought to check. Everyone looks at the height rating and the weight capacity, but the width at the bottom is what keeps you upright.
It's not just the spread, it's whether the legs are flared. A ladder with straight vertical legs and a narrow top that only widens slightly at the bottom is inherently less stable than one where the legs flare out aggressively from the hinge point. The Werner TE series does this well. It has a 32-inch base spread with a pronounced flare, so the footprint at ground level is significantly wider than the width at the top rung.
Which brings us to the second mechanism, the spreader bars. These are the folding arms that lock the A-frame open, and not all spreader bars are created equal. A friction-only spreader, the kind where two metal arms just sort of press against each other, can work loose over time. You nudge the ladder, the spreader slips a fraction of an inch, and suddenly your base geometry isn't what you thought it was.
What you want is positive engagement. That means the spreader bar has a locking mechanism that physically clicks into place. A pin, a latch, a detent, something that can't gradually work loose from vibration. Both the Little Giant and the Werner TE use positive locking spreaders. The Little Giant uses a rock lock system where the spreader arms seat into notched positions. The Werner uses a dual rivet hinge with a locking tab. Neither one relies on friction alone.
Then there are the feet. Daniel mentioned rubber feet specifically, and he's right that they matter. But the material of the rubber matters almost as much as the fact that it's rubber at all. TPR, thermoplastic rubber, outperforms PVC feet by about 40% in slip resistance on dry surfaces and 60% on wet surfaces, according to ASTM F2913 testing. That's a huge difference if you're setting up on a tile floor, or anywhere that might have a bit of moisture.
The contact patch size matters too. A larger foot spreads the load and gives you more grip surface. The Werner TE has oversized rubber feet with a tread pattern designed for both indoor and outdoor surfaces. The Little Giant uses a similar approach, wide, pivoting rubber feet that self-level on uneven ground. If you're setting up on a slightly uneven patio or a garage floor with that one weird crack, self-leveling feet are the difference between a solid platform and a ladder that rocks.
The stability hardware stack is wide flared base geometry, positive locking spreader bars, and large contact patch TPR feet. If a ladder has all three, it's going to feel solid at 3 meters, regardless of whether it's aluminum or steel.
Now let's talk about the telescoping mechanism specifically, because this is where Daniel's use case gets interesting. He wants something that folds down for storage, which means telescoping rails. And telescoping introduces a failure pattern that fixed A-frames don't have, the lock mechanism on each rail section. If a lock fails mid-climb, that section collapses and you're going for a ride.
This isn't theoretical. There was a recall in 2023 of the Telesteps brand telescoping ladders, about 15,000 units, specifically because of lock slippage. Those were single-pin designs where one pin per rail section was supposed to hold the load. The pin would partially disengage under dynamic loading, the rail would slip, and suddenly the ladder wasn't the height you thought it was.
The fix is dual-pin locking. The Werner TE series uses two independent locking pins per rail section, so if one fails or partially disengages, the second pin holds. It's a redundancy play, the same principle as having two bolts on a critical joint instead of one. The Little Giant Select Step uses a different approach with its rock lock mechanism, where each rung locks into position with a hinged brace that can't partially disengage. It's either fully locked or fully open, no in-between state.
When you're reading a spec sheet for a telescoping ladder, dual pin lock or positive locking rung mechanism is the phrase you're looking for. If it just says locking rungs without specifying the mechanism, assume it's single pin and move on.
The trade-off for all this engineering is weight. The Little Giant Select Step 3-meter model comes in at about 22 pounds. The Werner TE series is around 28 pounds. That 6-pound difference is the dual pin mechanism, the heavier gauge aluminum, and the wider base. For a single person carrying a ladder up a flight of stairs or maneuvering through doorways, 22 pounds is noticeably easier than 28.
The Werner gets you a Type 1 double, a rating at 375 pounds versus the Little Giant's Type 1. A at 300. For Daniel's use case, single person, maybe holding an HVAC filter or a drill, Type 1, A is plenty. If you're a contractor carrying a tool belt and a bucket of materials, the extra capacity of the 1AA starts to matter.
And both of these fold down to roughly 1.2 meters for storage, which is the whole point of the telescoping design. A fixed 3-meter A-frame doesn't fit in a closet. That's the telescoping side of the equation. But I want to circle back to the material assumption Daniel made, because this is where a lot of people get the physics backwards. He said he'd naturally assume a steel ladder with rubber feet is more stable than a wood ladder. And I get why: steel is dense, it feels planted, wood feels creaky. But in practice, a Type 1A aluminum ladder with a 30-inch base is going to be more stable than a Type 3 steel ladder with a 20-inch base. The rating and the geometry swamp the material every time.
Stability is a system property, not a material property. It's like saying a heavy car must handle better than a light one. Sure, if everything else is equal, but everything else is never equal. The base spread, the duty rating, the foot design, the spreader lock. Those are the things that determine whether you're coming down on your own terms or gravity's.
Here's where Daniel's dislike of his current wooden ladder might be leading him to the wrong conclusion. He doesn't trust it, and he might be right not to, but the problem might not be that it's wood. A well-made wooden A-frame, something like the Louisville Ladder L3016, is Type 1A rated, non-conductive, and genuinely stable. The issue is that wooden ladders are heavy. That Louisville model is 32 pounds, and they're bulky, and they don't telescope, and they're prone to moisture damage if you store them in a basement or an unsealed garage.
If Daniel's current wooden ladder has a narrow base, worn-out feet, and maybe a spreader bar that's been loose since the Obama administration, the material is the least of its problems. He's blaming the wood when he should be blaming the design and the maintenance. A good wooden ladder with TPR feet and a wide base is perfectly safe. It's just not the right tool if you need it to fold down to fit in a closet.
Which brings us to what you actually look for when you're staring at a spec sheet and trying to make a decision. Duty rating we covered, type 1A or 1AA. Base spread, minimum 28 inches for 3 meter height, and wider is better. But there are a few things that don't get talked about enough.
The foot material, for one. We mentioned TPR versus PVC, but it's worth saying explicitly. If the spec sheet just says rubber feet without specifying, assume PVC. You want TPR or nitrile. The ASDM F2913 numbers are not subtle. 40% better on dry, 60% better on wet. That's not a marginal improvement, that's a different product category.
The spreader bar type is another one. Locking can mean a lot of things. You want positive locking? That word positive is doing real work in the engineering sense. It means the mechanism physically prevents movement until you deliberately release it. A friction hinge that someone labeled locking because it's stiff when it's new is not the same thing.
Then there's the certification. A ladder should say it's certified to ANSI, a 14.2 for aluminum, or A14.5 for fiberglass. If it says meets ANSI standards without specifying which standard and which testing body verified it, that's a red flag. Meets is marketing. Certified to is engineering.
The weight capacity at full extension is another spec that matters specifically for telescoping ladders. Some manufacturers rate the ladder at its base configuration and don't test at full extension with the same rigor. You want a rating that applies to the ladder at its maximum height, not just when it's collapsed.
One more thing on the wooden ladder alternative, because I think it's worth acknowledging. If someone really prefers wood, maybe they're working around live wiring and want the non-conductive property, or they just like the feel, the Louisville L3016 is a solid choice. Type 1, A, 3 meters. But it's got a 26-inch base spread versus the Werner's 32. That narrower base plus the extra weight means you're trading some stability for the material preference, and you're accepting that it doesn't fold.
The maintenance burden is the other vector here. A telescoping aluminum ladder needs the rails cleaned and the locks lubricated periodically. Dust and grit get into the mechanism and can cause binding or incomplete lock engagement. A fixed wooden A-frame doesn't have locks to maintain, but you need to inspect the joints for cracks and replace the feet every couple of years as the rubber hardens. Neither one is maintenance-free, they just fail in different ways.
The decision tree ends up being, if you needed to telescope for storage, you're in aluminum territory, and you want dual-pin locks and a 30-plus inch base. If you don't need it to telescope and you prefer wood, buy Type 1, A with TPR feet, and accept that it's going to be heavier and bulkier. Either way, check the base spread, check the certification, and replace the feet before they look like they need it. With all that in mind, here's what you actually buy. For 3 meter single person work, the answer is a Type 1 A or 1AA, A aluminum telescoping, A frame with a dual pin locking mechanism, and a base spread of at least 28 inches. The Little Giant Select Step and the Werner TE series are the gold standards. Pick the Werner if you want the extra capacity and the widest base. Pick the Little Giant if you want something 6 pounds lighter that's easier to carry upstairs.
If you're in the wood camp, maybe you're working near wiring, maybe you just like the feel, get a Type 1, a wooden stepladder with TPR feet and the widest base you can find. But know going in that you're trading away portability and storage convenience, and replace the feet every 2 years. Rubber hardens with age, and hardened rubber is just slippery plastic with a nostalgic name.
The thing to do right now, before you climb onto anything, is walk over to your current ladder and look at the side rail. There's a sticker or a stamp with the duty rating. If it says Type 2 or Type 3, that ladder is not rated for what you're doing at 3 meters. Doesn't matter how solid it feels from the ground, the rating exists because someone already did the math on what happens when it fails.
While you're down there, measure the base spread. If it's under 24 inches at full height, the geometry is working against you. Every inch below 28 is shrinking the safe zone for your center of gravity. You can't fix a narrow base by being careful. Careful is not a structural member. I keep thinking about where ladders go from here. The basic A-frame design hasn't changed fundamentally in decades. We've refined the materials and the locks, but it's still two rails and some rungs. There are patents floating around for carbon fiber ladder rails that would cut the weight of a 3-meter telescoping model from 28 pounds down to maybe 15 while actually increasing stiffness. Nothing on the consumer market yet, but the aerospace materials are trickling down.
Carbon fiber would be nice until you drop it once, and the microfractures turn your ladder into a very expensive wind chime. What I'm more curious about are the smart sensor patterns, load cells built into the feet that warn you when you're approaching the weight limit, or accelerometers that detect when the base is starting to shift. Imagine a ladder that beeps at you before you lean far enough to tip it.
There's a patent from Warner filed a couple of years ago for exactly that. Strain gauges in the spreader bars that measure dynamic load and trigger an audible warning. Nothing shipping yet, and honestly, the regulatory pathway for a smart ladder is probably a nightmare. But the technology exists. The question is whether people will pay an extra $100 for a ladder that nags them.
I suspect the real innovation in the next 5 years won't be smart sensors. It'll be making dual-pin telescoping mechanisms cheaper to manufacture, so the safety features that are currently in the $200 professional models show up in the $100 consumer ones. That's where the injury prevention actually happens. Not beeping, just better engineering at a lower price.
That's really the final thought here. The right ladder is an investment in not falling off a ladder. A Type 1. A telescoping A-frame with dual pin locks and a wide base costs a couple $100. An ER visit with a broken wrist costs considerably more, and that's before you factor in the part where you're the one with the broken wrist.
Spend the money. Your collarbone will thank you. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the early 1500s, Spanish explorers in what is now Guyana encountered indigenous peoples mining a crumbly white sedimentary rock from exposed cliffs. The material, later identified as diatomaceous earth, was used locally as a fine abrasive for polishing tools. The Spanish referred to it as Tierra de Infusorios, Earth of the Infusoria, under the mistaken belief that the fossilized diatoms were the remains of microscopic animal life rather than algae.
Huh. Infusoria. That's a word I didn't have this morning.
I'm going to spend the rest of the day trying to work Tierra de Infusorios into conversation.
One thing to watch, if those carbon fiber patents ever turn into actual products, the weight savings could make telescoping ladders practical for a much wider range of people, including older homeowners who currently can't manage a 28-pound carry. That's a genuine accessibility when hiding in a materials science breakthrough.
This has been My Weird Prompts, with thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this episode, tell someone who's still standing on a wobbly kitchen chair to change their smoke detector batteries. Find us at myweirdprompts.com.
Maybe go check the sticker on your ladder. See you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.